Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally Alcordi, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my show is going to be concentrating on the fact that the measles vaccine is causing measles. And I have asked Sally Fallon of the Weston A. Price Foundation to come on and speak about her press release and also about the foundation itself, which, having done some investigation, is a very interesting foundation. So I welcome Sally Fallon, who is the director of the Weston A. Price Foundation. Okay, I'll try again. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Sally. Nice to talk to another Sally.
Yes, I know there are very few of us who aren't over 100 years old.
Right.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. I can't believe I never heard of the Weston A. Price Foundation until you issued that press release. Uh-huh. And having done all this investigation, this is a very far-reaching organization with representatives all over the country.
Yes, we have almost 600 local chapters throughout the United States and in the rest of the world. And our main focus is nutrition, good nutrition, trying to counteract all the misinformation about nutrition that's out there. But one part of our mission statement is for non-toxic therapies. And we have always been opposed to vaccinations, and we felt that it's very important to get involved right now with the hysteria about the measles outbreak.
No, I was thrilled to find you because it was great to have a nonprofit organization to refer the mainstream media directly to.
Yeah.
It just helped. It's helped in our mission to wake people up, to have a foundation who likewise is saying the same thing.
Yes, uh-huh.
So if you wouldn't mind me telling you, asking you, what do all the chapters around the country do?
Well, their main job is to help people find the kind of foods that we recommend, starting with raw milk and also pastured animal foods such as pastured meat, pastured eggs, pastured poultry. That's the first thing that people are looking for, and these are foods that are hard to find even in health food stores. In many parts of the country. So that's number one. They also tell people where to get their organic fruits and vegetables and sourdough bread and all the other things that we recommend. Secondly, the chapters do hold meetings and cooking classes and help people get going on a healthy diet. And thirdly, they will be able to tell you where the holistic practitioners are in your area. And particularly parents are looking for practitioners who are not going to be bullying them to vaccinate their children.
This is terrific because I get requests for that at least once a week.
Well, so, they should go to WestonAPrice.org and click on local chapters, find their local chapter. And I'm not promising that the chapters will know of such physicians, but usually they do.
Well, I attended an event last night, which was a movie called Trace Amounts, which is about mercury in vaccines and in other things as well. And I met there a holistic dentist. Now, I know that Weston A. Price was a dentist.
Right, yeah.
So
well,
how did this all evolve, and was mercury an issue in regard to what he believed?
Well, Dr. Price was a dentist, and he traveled over the world looking at healthy populations, and the first thing he looked at was their teeth, and he found 14 populations with excellent dental health, no cavities, no decay, and no dental deformities. In other words, people all had naturally straight teeth. And then he looked at their diets and formulated the principles of healthy diets, the main one being that these diets were very rich in three vitamins, A, D, and K, that we get exclusively from certain animal foods, foods like butterfat and the fats of the meats and the organ meats. So these are the main foods that we're telling people to eat. But going back to what did Price think about mercury, you know, that issue was not really talked about in his day, but he was very opposed to the water fluoridation because he knew that it was toxic, and he said, look here, these healthy people didn't have fluoridated water and they didn't have tooth decay, so it's not necessary to prevent tooth decay.
No, in fact, I was reading, I consider fluoride like the most glaringly obvious lie, that they say, you know, they put it in toothpaste. And in fact, it crumbles your teeth.
Well, it
it's just such an obvious one.
Yeah. But the thing is, all of these toxins that we have in our environment, like fluoride and pesticides and everything, they more or less enter our body through the mouth. And we do have certain barriers to absorbing toxins. Our bodies know how to protect us somewhat. I mean, it's not perfect, and we certainly don't want to overload our bodies with toxins. But the thing about the vaccinations is it bypasses this protective barrier of the digestive tract, and these toxins go straight into the bloodstream.
Oh, okay. Well, that the whole thing is, why are they attacking the bloodstream? Because they couldn't be doing more harm than they're doing, even when they put peanut oil. That's natural. However, in the bloodstream, it creates allergies and the potential for anaphylactic shock.
It absolutely does. You know, I'm glad you mentioned peanut oil, because a lot of people don't realize there's peanut oil in some vaccines. And in fact, I come from a family with a history of severe life-threatening reactions to vaccinations. There are five members of my family that I know that have had terrible reactions, and one of them died. And the first one was my father, who had a very bad reaction to a vaccination when he was in the Air Force in the Second World War, and they told him it was because of the peanut oil in the vaccine.
Ah, well, that's very interesting. And quite frankly, I am turning to veterans who unfortunately have been given so many vaccines.
I know.
That they are not well. They are just not well. And here I'm actually looking to them to say, you have protected our country. Could you protect our children?
Yes.
From our government.
Yes.
Because this is really what it's coming down to. We have to be on the front lines of saving the children from these ghastly vaccinations.
Well, this is a war. You know, you're absolutely right, and I think we need to be very accurate about what is happening here. This isn't just misinformation or, you know, a question of choice. I mean, it's those things too. But what this really is a war on our children. And,
yes.
And it is a war to make our children into vaccine zombies, basically. And, you know, people say, well, and I'm very concerned about serious reactions to vaccinations, but what about the less serious reactions to vaccinations? What about the children who don't have serious reactions but just have maybe delayed reactions for the rest of their life, or 10 points lower in IQ for the rest of their life, or lower will forces to accomplish what they want to in life, who go through life kind of spaced out because of all these toxins put in their bloodstream? It's not just the serious reactions that we need to be concerned about. It's the minor, so-called minor reactions as well.
Well, I find it interesting that considering the first place these toxins go is into the bloodstream, that leukemia is skyrocketing in children.
Yeah. Well, you know, there have been studies comparing the health of vaccinated and unvaccinated children. And the unvaccinated children have less sickness, less asthma, less respiratory disease, fewer behavior problems. I mean, this is out there in the scientific literature. When we talk about vaccinations, we need to talk about the overall health of our children, not whether or not they have a case of measles, but how well or sick are they for their whole lives. And we do have, I think it's about half a dozen studies showing that children who are not vaccinated are healthier overall.
Now, the article, the press release that you put out,
yeah.
This this was very important, and as you say, at a critical time that you spoke up. But mm-hmm. would you like to explain what was in that article in terms of the measles being derived from the vaccine itself?
Right. So, you know, we had this measles outbreak that started in Disneyland, or so they say, and the media was whipped up into a frenzy saying that this outbreak was caused by a child or somebody who had not been vaccinated. And for that reason, now everyone is supposed to get all the recommended shots, children and adults. And, you know, for children, that's about 50 shots before they go into kindergarten, starting on day one. So this isn't just about measles. This is about all these shots. And so we put out a press release showing the scientific studies which indicate that people who have been recently vaccinated with live virus vaccines, such as the measles vaccine, also chickenpox, shingles, flu, mumps, rubella, they shed that disease for up to months after they have been vaccinated, and certainly in the first 2 weeks. In fact, you know, the only cases of polio that we're seeing today are caused by someone in contact with someone who's just gotten the polio vaccine. So we put this out in a press release. We said, really, we should be quarantining these people who have just been vaccinated. Now, you know, if we really did that, if we quarantined the people who had recently been vaccinated, even if for 2 weeks, do you think anyone would get vaccinated? Of course not. They would never do this. And, you know, I don't know if you saw, but we put out a second press release after the first one because we found on a couple of hospital websites exactly what we were saying. For example, the Johns Hopkins hospital patient information about should the sick people have visitors. It says the following: tell friends and family who are sick or have recently had a live vaccine, such as chickenpox, measles, rubella, flu, polio, or smallpox, not to visit. Avoid contact with children who were recently vaccinated. This is what it's telling their sick immunocompromised people to do, that they could be infected by people who have been recently vaccinated. Now, isn't that news?
Yes, that is completely explosive.
Yeah. By the way, as soon as we put this press release, the hospital took it down. But yeah, they took it down. Oh, yes. See, they'd much rather protect this vaccine industry than tell people the truth and protect their own patients.
So
they took it down.
St. Jude's Hospital.
St. Jude's took theirs down as well. Yep. But let's see. We have this on our website. But it basically says to not be in contact with someone who's had a live virus vaccine.
Wow. And this is a cancer hospital for children.
Yes. In fact, here it is. Do not allow people to visit your child if they have had an oral polio or smallpox vaccine within 4 weeks. They have received a nasal flu vaccine within 1 week. They have rashes after receiving the chickenpox or measles or mumps vaccine.
Well, you really are doing your part there.
This has generated a lot of interest. It was on a couple of major websites. We also point out that vaccines fail. Even we've had outbreaks in populations that were fully vaccinated. We also point out that there has not been a death from the measles in the United States since 2005. And there have been 108 reported deaths from measles vaccine during the same period. So it's the measles vaccine that's killing people. It's not the measles.
I would like to bring out something that Dr. Vera Scheidner is saying, that when you acquire measles naturally, not from somebody who has gotten a measles vaccine, but when you acquire them naturally, then you have lifelong immunity.
You do.
And you also are protected from certain cancers for life.
Yes. And, you know, the rubella, all these kids should be getting rubella and have full immunity, because when someone is vaccinated with rubella and then comes in contact with a pregnant woman and she hasn't had rubella, that they could be very serious consequences for her unborn child. I actually remember being in college and hearing a doctor say that she did not recommend the rubella vaccine. She said it would expose pregnant women, and that pregnant women should get rubella when they were children. So when that vaccine came out, there was a lot of opposition to it.
So that one sheds significantly as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, everyone's put at risk by all of these people getting vaccinations, and also we're putting people at risk by not letting people get measles and these other childhood illnesses when they're young. Now, yes, we used to have a lot of deaths from measles, but we haven't had any in 10 years, and these deaths usually occur in very impoverished children in very poor countries. And, of course, our foundation, it teaches the principles of good nutrition that can make any case of vaccine or any measles or any childhood illness very mild. And that is you give them cod liver oil, you give them a little liver, you give them butter and cream and egg yolks, so they get their vitamin A. And vitamin A is absolutely critical for preventing, problems with the measles.
Now, in a viral infection, I understand vitamin C is very critical.
Well, vitamin C helps in any infection. Apparently, for bacterial infections, it's vitamin D, but the viral infections really use up vitamin A in the body very quickly.
And then vitamin C is a cure, or vitamin A would be the cure.
Well, I don't want to use the word cure, because diseases just run their course, but what you want is them to run their course without any serious side effects.
Okay. Now, I know children who have had the measles vaccine, they get the measles, and then they give them a booster shot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and now they're calling for two boosters because the vaccine's not working. They say it wears off, but actually it just doesn't work. And, you know, the whole concept of immunity has been turned on its head recently. They used to think that the presence of antibodies was a sign of immunity. Now we know that people can be immune, have antibodies and not be immune, and they can be immune without having antibodies. So the whole premise of these vaccinations is flawed.
Well, also, herd immunity is a theory, and it is a theory based on natural immunity, not hijacked.
Yes,
it's been hijacked by the pharmaceutical company.
Exactly. When the disease or the illness runs through the group, whether it's animals or people, then they have what's called herd immunity. They don't get it again for a long time. But that's not what the industry is calling herd immunity. That's something they've made up. And it's really, they've made it up to get everyone to get vaccinated. And, of course, the whole, you know, if what they claim is true, that vaccines protect you against disease, then you shouldn't be worried about coming in contact with someone who has the disease.
Right. So their reasoning is so flawed that people don't rely on their own sense. When something doesn't make sense, when you're straining to figure it out, perhaps it's just wrong, you know?
Yeah, perhaps the whole thing is wrong. Yes, right.
Right. So we just ask people to listen to their intuition and follow common sense.
Well, I would say even more, you need to be very strong because so many parents, they think maybe I don't want to get vaccines. And then they go into the doctor's office, and these doctors are trained to be very persuasive. And we even know of cases where children were snatched from their arms, the parents' arms in the doctor's office and vaccinated. And here is the real danger. Let's say you decide not to vaccinate, and then you go to the doctor 6 months later, and he says, oh, I see you've missed this vaccination. We'll have to give him both, two vaccinations today. And that's when you really have the serious side effects, is when you give more than one vaccination. I mean, we've had serious side effects with just one vaccination, but if they give two or three or four, you can just count on serious side effects.
Well, I have to find a graphic that was really telling. It showed a baby, and this, if you are to administer 7 inoculations in one visit
yes.
to a child. This is where they should be administered. 2 in each leg, 2 in each arm, and 1 someplace else. And I just thought, wow, this is so disturbing because some of them even will be multi-dose, like the MMR, the DPAP.
Yes, yes, and yeah.
So, yeah, this is causing children to die as well. We're talking about injury, but death is a very
serious. Well, and, you know,
serious.
Death is sometimes the best result. I mean, I don't want to say best, but it's kinder than what happens to these kids who are permanently injured. And I say to a parent who is wondering what to do, are you going to risk putting your child, or are you going to put your child at risk for a serious reaction that could mean you are changing this child's diapers when he's 20 years old? Because that's what a lot of these parents are still doing. They have absolutely helpless vegetables on their hands for their entire life. And, you know, is it worth it? Even if it's only 1 in 1,000,000 who has this reaction, is it worth it to take this chance with your child?
Well, I interview parents of vaccine-injured children. That is, I've interviewed 300 of them.
Oh,
and,
yes, you told me that, yeah.
Well, you know, it's been quite an education, and it's at one point I thought, I have to walk away. This
yeah.
has gotten so profoundly disturbing. One interview I did with a young mother whose child had received 11 doses of vaccination at 6 months and died.
Yeah.
And I really thought, wow, man, I don't know that I can keep this up. But we have to keep this up because we must let people know that not only will their child die, but they will be accused of shaken baby syndrome and spend
yes.
the rest of their lives in jail.
In jail, yeah, yeah.
Right. And,
so
and
a lot of these SIDS deaths and shaken baby deaths that they are accused of happen very shortly after vaccination, and also these happen in children who are very deficient in vitamin D, and that's what happens on the standard American diet if you're following the dietary guidelines or, not giving this child the kind of nutrient-dense foods he needs.
Well, I love the cookbook, A Return to Butter. Is that the name of it? A Return to Butter?
Nourishing Traditions. Nourishing Traditions is my book, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, tell us a little bit about your book or a lot about your book, if you would.
Oh, well, Nourishing Traditions is a little bit of a fixture on the landscape. It's been out since 1996. And it sold over 600,000 copies. So it is a book about nutrition with a special emphasis on nutrition for growing children. And it's a book that tells you that butter and eggs and meat and organ meats and raw milk are healthy and are supposed to be in your diet, and especially the diet for growing children.
Well, terrific. Everything we've been taught is the polar opposite.
Yeah, it's true.
I would like to know more about cholesterol and what is true and not true in that regard. Can you address that?
Well, this whole cholesterol thing is a fraud. It was a fraud from the very beginning. High cholesterol does not make you any more prone to heart disease than not. And animal foods containing cholesterol and saturated fat are not the cause of heart disease. The main cause of heart disease, I mean, there's many, many causes of heart disease, but the main one are the vegetable oils, the processed vegetable oils, the trans fats, and the rancid liquid oils. That's number one on the list. A second one would be the pasteurization of milk.
Well, hold on. Okay, we'll get to that. But what's canola? What is canola?
Well, canola is a processed vegetable oil. It is very high in omega-3s, and when you process the omega-3s, they're all damaged and become rancid. It's not a healthy oil at all. None of these industrial oils are healthy. And the problem with this cholesterol theory is that it's being applied to growing children, and growing children absolutely need a lot of cholesterol in their diet. They need a lot of saturated fat, and they need the vitamins that we find in these foods. Children need butter. They need egg yolks. They need liver. The first two foods we recommend for weaning foods for baby are liver puree and egg yolks. And we have hundreds, if not thousands, of children brought up in this diet. And they just are beautiful, healthy, intelligent children. This is the right type of diet for the growing child.
Wonderful. Now, that's your website is WestonAPriceFoundation.org?
It's WestonAPrice.org. And if you see the tab at the top called Press, you can click on that and see our two press releases on the vaccinations.
Right, right. And that somebody put that up on the CNBC
yes, right.
website. Yes,
right. There's over 6,000 comments.
And what were they? I'm interested. Were they
diverse? They were very diverse. A lot of positive comments, I mean, supporting what we said. There were negative comments also, negative, rude comments, and these mostly are coming from paid trolls, people that the vaccine industry has paid to troll for anything on vaccinations and make negative comments.
Right, and as an anti-vaxxivist, I am well aware of what mm-hmm. those are.
They can be very threatening and very, very vulgar and very rude, yeah.
Yes, I was reported as a terrorist for trying to raise money for billboards that said ban vaccines, you know. And that's it. We just have to ban them. There's the elephant in the room are the components, the ingredients.
Yes,
and
right.
that is the one issue no one is allowed to address. And quite frankly, at the affair last night, I kept raising my hand to address the lawyer who had put this screening together at the NYU Law School. Her name is Mary Holland. I didn't get my question out. But the question I had for her is this. Isn't poison illegal?
Yeah,
and if
right.
not, why not?
Yeah, yeah. And to put these poisons right into
talking,
the bloodstream.
They're always talking about how to address this from every angle,
yeah,
but the
yeah.
angle that is so glaringly obvious, the elephant in the room, they are
yeah.
poison.
And isn't everybody's religious beliefs that they shouldn't put poison into their children? And, you know, even the thimerosal-free vaccines still have traces of mercury in them. And they always use more aluminum when they take the thimerosal out.
Right, and from what I was told last night and have heard from Joel Lord of the Vaccine Resistance Movement, when you have mercury and aluminum together, they are exponentially more damaging.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's by 10 times.
Yeah.
So when you're getting more than one shot at a time, there are no studies. At all. I mean, they have prevented as many studies as possible because they know
yes.
the outcome.
Yeah.
The kids are glaring examples of the outcome, but they certainly have done no studies with vaccines being administered together. So
right.
If you
and also, when they do studies on vaccine safety, they put mercury or aluminum in the control injection.
In
yeah.
the placebo.
So, in the placebo, yes.
Right.
So then they can say,
right.
well, we don't find any difference. But what they don't tell you is that everybody got bad reactions, you know.
Right. So, if there's a lie to be told, a friend of mine who runs the Autism Action Network says the CDC is the lying liars who lie. In
yeah.
case there are any questions.
Yeah, well,
and,
you know, and then... We're accused of being anti-science, but I think we have to realize that there is no more corrupt industry than the pharmaceutical industry, and no industry that has more abused the principles of good science than the vaccine industry.
Right. Well, everybody's a corporation. Everyone says we're going towards a fascist government. We're beyond that because the government itself is a corporation. So fascism means when the government is, you know, in bed with the corporations, the government is a corporation.
Yeah.
So, oh boy. Well, anyway, I would like to hear more nutritional advice, if I may, since I have an expert at my beck and call here. Just give us, I guess, some basic guidelines to eating well and good health.
Well, I think number one is you want your animal foods from animals on pasture, and you want to eat the parts of the animal that are richest in fats and nutrients. So that means eat liver. You know, we say once or twice a week, eat liver. Eat other organ meats if you can get them. Make yourself a chicken liver pate. That's a wonderful way to eat liver. Eat the yolks of the eggs more than the whites. Eat butter. Butter is the healthiest fat on the planet. We're also advocates of taking cod liver oil, so you get adequate A&D. And, of course, we are...
Can you take cod liver oil in the caplets? Do you have to take it by the spoon? Because
you can. It's more expensive in capsules. I suggest you put your teaspoon of cod liver oil in a glass and add some warm water. Stir it around and down the hatch. That's how I take mine. Then my body doesn't have to deal with all those capsules, see? And my grandsons get their cod liver oil in a little syringe, and they love their cod liver oil. They end up grabbing the syringe and licking it. So it's very easy to get children to take cod liver oil, yes. And then we recommend raw milk. Again, this is, real no-no in the public health circles, but I can tell you that these children brought up on raw milk are truly healthy children.
Okay. Now, in terms of cooking, obviously, cook with butter, right?
Cook with butter. We put butter on everything, all your vegetables, on your bread, always use butter.
Mm-hmm. How about coconut oil? Go ahead.
Well, we advocate coconut oil. We were one of the first organizations to point out that coconut oil is very healthy, and it's very good for weight loss, and it's very important for cancer patients to be on coconut oil. But coconut oil doesn't give you those great fat-soluble vitamins that you get from butter. So I actually have the five fats and oils that I recommend are number one, butter, number two, lard, especially for cooking. Lard is a great source of vitamin D. Number three is olive oil for your salad dressings. Number four is cod liver oil for vitamins A and D, and number five is coconut oil. So those are the five major fats and oils you want in your kitchen.
Okay, and now in terms of eggs and eating the yolk, I know my mother only eats the egg whites, and she has studied a lot about nutrition too, because I had a severely mentally retarded sister, and as with all parents of damaged children, people look to nutrition to reverse the symptoms that their children are suffering from the medications. But what are the benefits of the yolk?
Well, the yolk has far more nutritional value than the white. The yolk has the fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin A and vitamin D and vitamin K, and all sorts of other very important nutrients, very healthy fats. When you eat the whites by themselves, you end up getting too much protein, and protein will deplete your body of vitamin A. So it's very counterproductive to eat the whites. Whites are also much harder to digest and much more likely to be allergenic. So what we do when we make, for example, when we make scrambled eggs, we use per person one egg and one extra yolk per person. And then we add some cream and we cook it in butter.
Oh, yum! That sounds great.
Yeah, that'll hold you all day long. Scrambled egg made that way.
Okay. Well, what are some other tips like baking? When there's a lot on the book that I had seen about baking, Would you like to share some tips there?
Well, we talk about grains, and, you know, grains are a big subject today because so many people can't digest grains, and grains are very hard to digest. But traditional cultures pre-digested their grains by soaking or sprouting or making the sourdough bread. So we recommend a genuine sourdough bread, which is bread that's been fermented, basically, and people find that they can tolerate that very well. So we soak our oatmeal, we soak our pancake batter in something acidic, and before we make it into pancakes and oatmeal and all that. What we do warn people about are the very hard-to-digest breakfast cereals, things like granola and whole grain products that have not been prepared properly.
Again, the polar opposite of what we have been told.
It is, yeah, it, yeah. And the
Dr.
industry cries
Crowley
itself.
Always says it's
yeah.
opposite day.
It's opposite day. The industry prides itself on being able to take a cup of wheat grains and turning it into a loaf of bread in 2 hours. And this is why people are having so much problem with wheat today, because they're not taking the time to break down all these irritants and anti-nutrients in the grain through proper preparation.
And you instruct people on how to properly prepare
things. Yes, we do. Uh-huh.
And say the name of your book again.
Nourishing Traditions. Nourishing Traditions.
Okay, and if someone wanted to buy that, would they go to?
Oh, it's in bookstores and online booksellers. Yeah, or they could go to my website, which is newtrendspublishing.com, newtrendspublishing.com.
Okay, we will put Sally and I will put information in the comment area. If you open the screen, the link to this radio show, and you scroll down to the comment area, everything that Sally has just told you, she will add to the comment area so that you can readily reference it.
Okay.
Well, I'm
okay.
just saying, so that people can readily reference everything. I always use the comment area as a follow-up to interviews so that all the things that are discussed can be found, you know, readily after.
Another theme of ours is the theme of bone broth. People made soup with the bones of animals, the chicken bones, the heads, the feet, or with pig feet, or with knuckle bones. And I've actually just written a book, co-authored with Kayla Daniel, called Nourishing Broth, which talks about the health benefits of broth. And we need to get this
now,
broth back in our diet.
Does that have to do with the marrow inside the bone?
The marrow, yes.
Okay, tell us why the marrow is so nourishing.
Well, it's full of fat, for one thing, full of a lot of good things. The marrow's a good source of calcium. But it's more the collagen in the bones that we are concerned about. You have more collagen in your body than any other type of protein, and that collagen supports the whole body. And you get the components of collagen in broth.
Wow. Oh, there's something I never thought about.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. So now collagen, how does that benefit your body?
Oh, of course, yes. You need...
No,
it helps
how,
you with
how
your,
does it benefit?
Well, it just gives you the components to build your own healthy collagen.
Okay, and that would be to strengthen your bones and the... A lot of people are losing the matter in their knees that keeps them.
Right.
Would that help that situation?
Yes, indeed. And we've had a lot of people tell us they've recovered from bad knee problems, hip problems, joint problems by just getting a lot of broth in their diet.
Okay, Diane Steele, that one was for you. That's my friend who's having. Well, you know, a professor of mine who recently died, he had absolutely no elasticity between his bones, and he was in severe pain for many years.
Sure. Yes, yes.
And nobody knew how to, recommend that he get better. So he just wound up being a grumpy old man. And
yeah, of
he
course.
Was not a grumpy human. He was a very positive man who wound up being very grumpy because he was in pain all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the broth can really help
so
with that.
And elderly people should hear that in terms of hips, because a lot of people are getting hip replacements.
Yeah. No, they should be serving broth in the in all these old folks' homes and assisted living places. But, you know, nobody has time to make broth, and there's no money in it. The drug companies can't make any money out of broth, so nobody does it.
Well, if you were to create a diet for elderly people, mm-hmm. that's one of the things. What other things would you recommend?
Well, I would include raw milk in that diet.
Raw milk, okay.
And cod liver oil and lots of soups and good nourishing food and food that they like. I mean, it needs to be something that tastes good to them.
Right. Hmm. Well, I wish they have nutritionists in all these old aged facilities.
Yeah.
And it seems that they offer the polar opposite of what
right.
you're talking about.
Or they do.
If you
yeah.
go to a
hospital
cafeteria, you will also find the polar opposite of what you're talking about. And I'm not a big fan of hospitals.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's all done by dietitians. No, this has to be done by the family.
So what are they teaching the people in these dietitian schools?
The dietitians are trained to dispense processed foods. That's what their training tells them to do.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Well, now, if somebody joins the Weston A. Price Foundation, and I hope everybody will, and I will send you a contribution. I think your work is wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Well, just become a member. Yeah.
Yes.
So, anyway.
I'm active with my local chapters. I definitely want to join. Yeah.
Well, to join the foundation, just go to WestonAPrice.org, and there's a Join Now button. It's $40 for the year, and you get a beautiful journal 4 times a year. But you don't, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but you don't have to be a member to participate in chapter activities. Our information is available to everybody, whether they're members or not, but we do hope that people will support us by being a member.
And you can also download and print out some information to distribute. Am I correct?
That's right. And if you become a member, you get all one copy each of all of our wonderful materials, teaching materials.
Well, I am in the streets on a daily basis educating people about vaccines. And I will add your website to my important information. I may actually add it to my petition to Congress right now for a vaccine-free 2015. Why not? You know, let's get some thinking along nutritional lines, not just banning vaccines, but how to
just because you're not vaccinating doesn't mean you can be careless about your children's health. And about these childhood diseases. They can be serious in a poorly nourished child. And it is the parent's responsibility to provide good nourishing food for this child, all his childhood years. And I think part of the problems with vaccines is it creates the impression that, well, you can just have this shot or you can just take this pill, and the parents don't have to do anything. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, the parents need to learn to be conscientious about how they feed their children, and how they bring up their children.
Thank you, Sally Fallon of the Weston A. Price Foundation. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye now.
And bye. Bye-bye.